Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. Today we're going to conclude our two-part series on the topic, A Man After the Heart of God. In studio today, I have my beloved sisters, Tamara Evans and Lisa Bastian, and we are going to talk about David's sin and how he overcame that great sin. In our last episode, we walked with David through the quiet places of worship and trust, through courage and calling. But today, we're stepping into the part of David's story that many would rather avoid: the failure, the fall, and the grace that followed. This episode is especially for those who perhaps made mistakes, who feel disqualified, who wonder if God can still use them. Because here's the truth, my friends. David's greatest title wasn't king. It was forgiven. He lied. He committed adultery. He arranged a man's death. But what made David different was not that he never sinned. It was that he never stayed in sin. He fell hard, but he returned broken, honest, and hungry for restoration. And God, in his mercy, met him where he was at. Today, we'll walk through what real repentance looks like. We'll talk about Psalms 51, one of the most raw yet beautiful prayers in all of Scripture. And we'll see why God doesn't cancel the broken, but calls them back. David's story tells us this: your worst moment doesn't disqualify you from God's best plan. In fact, it may be the very soil where grace grows deepest. So get your coffee, your tea, whatever your favorite beverage, and join Lisa, Tamara, and I as we conclude this powerful study titled A Man After God's Heart. Welcome, Lisa. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
So here's a man who I believe he should have been out there fighting, doing something productive. But because he was idle, the devil found a job for him, looked over and saw this beautiful lady, lust after her. He was a powerful man, got her in, slept with her, got her pregnant, tried to cover his sin. How does someone like that, who committed such a grave sin or grave sins, still be called a man after God's own heart? Think God made a mistake?
God doesn't make mistakes. And last episode, we spoke about how God, knowing everything about David before he was even anointed, called him a man after God's own heart. But we see in 2 Samuel 11 that David was out of place, because it says in the spring, when the kings normally went out to war, David sent out Joab, his servants, and all the Israelites. So he was supposed to be somewhere where he wasn't. That's the first thing. He was out of place. Went on the roof, saw this lady called Bathsheba, sent his messengers to bring him to her, had sexual relations with her. And then she went back to her house as if nothing happened, but she became pregnant, as you said. But not only that, she was a married woman. Mm-hmm. Her husband came home and David decided he was going to do a cover up. The man who was, the Bible calls one of his mighty men of valor, one of the 33 men who were really, really powerful men, fighting men. He tried to cover up, sent this man back to war, told Joab to put him in the front line and leave him there.
All of that, Tamara, all of that would David conjured up. He's still a man after God's own heart.
He left him there. And when God was ready to deal with him concerning it, he sent the prophet Nathan to him and to expose what he was trying to hide, as if you could hide anything from God. But in a David's way, as we've come to know him, he didn't make excuses for what he did, as Saul, King Saul did when he was caught in disobedience. David immediately repented and recognized he had sinned against God. And I think it is in the recognition and acknowledgement of his sin, we get to see the willing spirit. And therefore, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a willing spirit in me, that spirit to obey. And so we can still say he's a man after God's own heart because of that.
Very interesting. Yes, we all know the story so well. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to see the humanness in David. But it also made me think of Peter. Mm-hmm. When Jesus said to Peter, you're going to deny me. You're saying now that you're going to go with me to death, but you will deny me. And sure enough, Peter denied Jesus. But Jesus also restored Peter. And Peter was humble at that point and became one of the leaders, church leaders. Mm-hmm. And then we think of Saul, who became Paul, and God had a special work for him to do as well. So in all that, we see the humanness coming out and God restoring and still giving assignment for the great assignments for the kingdom of God to be given to humanity through these people, through these men, back to David. I like what David says in Psalm 51. And he said, I know he acknowledged his transgression, his sin. He was quick to repent. And he said, you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. Mm-hmm. And David's, in James, we learn about sin coming from your own human desire. Mm-hmm. You can't blame it on anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's within all humanity. But in James, it also describes that desire as when your person follows through, it grows almost like conception. Mm-hmm. When a baby comes and the sin grows and then it's full grown and it's here. Mm-hmm. But it's like a stillborn baby because it's so ugly. There's nothing that could be done. There's no life in it. Yes. The soul has been separated from God. Mm. So that connects from Adam, creation, David. As we know, the baby that was conceived was not allowed to live. Mm-hmm. As we also know, there was a curse upon his household and a lot of David's children suffered.
Yes.
Consequences.
From the consequences. Mm-hmm. And so I pulled in the James because of when sin, the desire of ourselves pulls us to sin, sin becomes full grown. We have nothing else to do, either continue in it and be dead spiritually, or realize what it is, repent, and receive that forgiveness from Jesus.
And that's so important. Because that is what David did.
Yes.
He repented.
Yes, his response was exemplary.
And you compare that to the other king, Saul. He made excuses.
Yes.
And it was pride.
A lot of
pride.
It was about him. Arrogance.
But David, when it was brought to his attention, he repented. And that's what God is more concerned about, our sincere repentance. Because we as human, right, we look at the outward, right? How could God use you? You've been married 3 times. You've been fornicating. You have all these children out of wedlock. How could God use you and not use me who kept myself for the Lord. It reminds me of the prodigal son and his older brother.
The angry brother.
I stayed. I work with you. I toil, work all these fields. And this boy took all of his wealth, went out there, and now you want to do a party for him? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at this story. And we tend to do that.
Yeah.
In the church and in society, we look at the outward and think that that person shouldn't be in this position.
True.
I should be there. But I love it that God saw the sincerity of his repentance. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I took note of in this scripture, and I'm glad I really studied this, mm-hmm. because I could be one of those persons who say, well, God, why would you use David? I mean, mm-hmm. come on. You see these things he did. He lied. He committed adultery. And then he caused a man to die. There's no way that God could possibly use him. But David didn't go to sleep and wake up the next morning and realize he sinned. He carried this on and on. And it was the prophet Nathan. And I love it because I think that's a conversation in and of itself. Mm-hmm. He did not go to him and judge him and criticize him and tell him everything. Oh, he was everything but a child of God. Mm-hmm. He used a story. To get David to realize what he did was wrong. How important is accountability in helping men in their walk with God? How important is to have that person there who they are accountable to help them with their walk with God?
Yeah, it's very, very important. And I think even every leader, man or woman, and every person, every believer should have an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Someone who can speak truth to them and hold them to a high standard mm-hmm. when it comes to their service. If you don't have, we have the Holy Spirit within us. He helps us and he's our guide. But sometimes we grieve him because we want to go our own way. And therefore we need someone in our face right there to kind of remind us of what the word says. Mm-hmm. Or remind us about our responsibilities to our families if you're a man and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Or to remind us, even in our workplaces, mm-hmm. we have supervisors or we have managers who at some point will appraise us. Mm-hmm. And so that appraisal on your mandate brings you back to reality that this is expected of you. And so if you're out of line, you know, this is the type of repercussions that can come from it. So all of us need someone who can be honest with us, who can, in such a way, we say, prick our conscience mm-hmm. and let us know you're misstepping, you're on a dangerous path.
It's very important. Yeah. Very mm-hmm. true. I think it's very important for everybody to have, especially we're truth talking tellers. About men, mm-hmm. truth tellers in mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. I like that Nathan knew him well enough yeah. as well to know his approach yeah. wasn't going to be just in your face kind of mm-hmm. thing. Nathan approached him through a story, and David is poetic. And,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just worked with who he knew as a person. Mm-hmm. And so he got it. He got it right away.
And I think his heart was in the right place because even people that we know, mm-hmm. you know, they will come and say in a nice way, something that you're doing mm-hmm. is not right. Mm-hmm. But then there are those who are arrogant mm-hmm. and they will say, not me. How dare you tell me? The Bible Proverbs says, be careful to correct a scoffer because mm-hmm. they will not receive it. But obviously, because David's heart was in the right place, and God mm-hmm. was right when he said he was a man after his own heart, that when this man of God mm-hmm. corrected him, right. he accepted it and immediately yeah. repented.
And he must have had great respect for Nathan begin with.
Yeah. Trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And the person who does it has to be a trustworthy yeah. person, right? Mm-hmm. Someone you have high regard for. But I find, even in my own walk with the Lord, sometimes the Lord will use someone to correct us mm-hmm. and we take offense to yep. it. Mm-hmm. And not all the time the person is trying to wound you, mm-hmm. but the Lord is using them to, like we say, put us in our place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we have an issue with it.
Yeah.
And thank God for the Holy Spirit that works that in our lives. Because he said he reproves or corrects, disciplines those he loves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he didn't love David, he could do like he did with King Saul, pull mm-hmm. that kingdom mm-hmm. away.
Yes, yeah, true.
And Nathan said to him that even after he repented that the Lord has forgiven you mm-hmm. and you will not die.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some serious consequences yes. that came with his actions
yeah. mm-hmm.
that the Lord had lined up. But what he did, repented. Yeah. And so Nathan said, you're forgiven and you will not die. But like Lisa said, there were several consequences that came to his household
yeah. mm-hmm.
because of his disobedience and even the death of his son, yeah. his first son.
And I think it's so important for us, men in particular, but for all of us to understand that there are consequences for our actions.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go about life and we think, oh, nothing of this. I can get away with doing this. And it seemed as if he was getting away mm-hmm. with it. The man was already dead. The woman was pregnant. It seemed as if, but no, he couldn't. Not only was he exposed, but he said, there will be consequences.
Yeah.
Your house would be at war. And it was. All type of fighting. And so sometimes when you look and you see sometimes things going on in your family, it's important to think back. What could I have done?
Mm. Or repent. Or someone else
it's
did.
Never too late. It's never too late to repent. And ask God to help you. It may not remove it totally, but it'll probably ease it a bit. So then how does David's restored heart inspire men to lead with humility, grace, and integrity even after you have fallen?
You know, there's the male ego that pops up from every now and then. And I believe the Lord uses his rod and staff mm-hmm. to kind of keep us on that righteous path. It's a continual realignment. It's not just one place of correction and you're mm-hmm. good for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So it's an entire journey of walking yeah. with the Lord and being corrected and growing from grace to grace and being transformed into the image of Christ. And so there's a scripture that says, if you're trained by God's instruction, there will be a fruit of righteousness that comes from it. And so the person who wants to be transformed into the image of Christ will accept God's rebuke or instruction, which the word does. It reproves, it rebukes, it corrects, it instructs in righteousness, and be transformed by it, be renewed in your mind. Then that humility can be lived out in your day to day. But it's from the word. It's being reproved, rebuked, corrected by the word and instructed by it yeah. and being transformed by it. And then that's lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So true. Very well said.
Yeah.
But practicality speaking, I'm reminded in our devotions this morning, I was reminded mm-hmm. of something that David did for the son of Jonathan. After Jonathan was dead, remember, he said, what can I do mm-hmm. for the descendants of Saul's house?
Yes.
And he was told about this son that Jonathan had, Mephibosheth,
yes.
who was lame, and he invited him and he instructed the servants that were left of Saul's household to provide and make sure they have continued to provide for Mephibosheth who, yes. and his family who was lame. I guess he was limited in what he could do for himself.
Yes, yes.
And so I think that showed a heart of continuing in a legacy of humility, but also looking after
compassion.
Others, compassion, mm-hmm. considering the household of Jonathan, his good friend, who was no longer alive, Saul, who was no longer alive at that time, but David still had the power to do this. So he decided to use his power to bestow this blessing on Mephibosheth. And he said, "You're always welcome to my table."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think that's a good example as well, is what you can do in a daily life. Extend beyond yourself and take care of somebody else who can't do it for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. And to also acknowledge that no one is perfect.
No. Mm-hmm.
David didn't rule as a perfect man. And I think God wanted to share that story with all of us. Mm. That we, no matter what position you have, you're not necessarily perfect, but he was humbled.
Mm-hmm.
And not to let your failure define you.
Yeah.
Not to be like Saul and be arrogant to think that because of your position, you cannot be corrected or reproved.
Mm-hmm.
But to also, if you are humble enough to acknowledge and repent, don't let that define you. Mm-hmm. Man will do it. The people around you will always remember your sin.
Yeah.
Do you know he got that girl over there pregnant and he in charge? You will never, they will never let
our political leaders.
Oh yeah. And in church.
In church too, yeah. Yes,
they won't let you forget it.
No, they will never let you forget it. But we can't, or men should not allow that to define them.
Yeah.
And once you're sincerely trusting in God, that's what's more important than anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I like with David, and when we're talking about him being a man after God's own heart, and obedience, and he's a worshiper, and the fearing of God, when I just came to mind how when David first ran from Saul and he went to the priests and they gave him, you know, bread and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saul came right behind and killed 100+ priests. You know, mm-hmm. there was no fear of God,
mm-hmm.
you know. In his jealousy mm-hmm. and his anger, he responded in such a way. It was a horrible thing to mm-hmm. do.
Destructive.
Very destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see David having the fear of God, and you see him in his communication with Nathan, mm-hmm. you know, endearing, mm-hmm. respectful, trusting him, other than how Saul yeah. dealt with things. And so you can almost like clearly see the dividing line. You can see why David was a man after God's own. Yeah, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. in his humanness, Lisa used that word earlier, that he made mistakes, grave mistakes,
mm-hmm.
costly mistakes
mm-hmm.
that could have cost him his life.
Mm-hmm.
But in his humility and repentance, God restored him and redeemed a horrible situation that the same woman whom he had taken in an illegal way
mm-hmm.
bought for a son for him, Solomon, who would take the throne.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's redemptive work.
Yes.
That's the power of grace when we humble ourselves and surrender ourselves and acknowledge God in all our ways.
And he takes mm-hmm. the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah, right? He
went with Bathsheba, the man who he had the affair with.
Dangerous.
And produced Solomon. Mm-hmm. He is an awesome God.
He is.
None like him.
So in what ways then, when we look at David's life, can we use that as an example to lead our children or the next generation with humility, even after personal failures? I know a lot of time we talk about legacy. So how did David Hart shape his legacy and also help to lead the next generation? You talk about Solomon with humility.
I'll tell you one thing. When you're talking about your children and God having done humble them or lead them through humility, that's one of the most heartbreaking places you can go through.
Mm-hmm.
Things you can go through. And I'm sure it's multiple times in their lives. My oldest is 22. So I'm sure I have, by God's grace, if I live to see it, and she does, and then the others, more places to be with
mm-hmm.
them. But it's praying them through. Because oftentimes you can't take the place of that. They have to experience it
for themselves,
because now God is putting them into a place for a personal relationship with Him. And oftentimes we try to intervene and stop them from the pain that He is, because He's shaping them. He shaped us and He's shaping us. He's shaping them. He's shaping their characters. He's shaping them and transforming them into His own image. And so they got to go through some things. Mm-hmm. And boy, you have to pray them through.
Yep.
And allow them to, and keep pointing them to Him. Mm-hmm. See, it's not coming to mommy and daddy anymore. Right. You have to talk to God about that. You have to trust Him in that. You have to believe that He will see you through that and take them through the scriptures that can help them. Mm-hmm. Lisa can add to that because hers are older than mine.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They do have to get to a point where they acknowledge God for themselves and to see their own weaknesses. And but it is difficult to watch. As a parent, it's difficult to not want to, like you said, get in there and fix things for them. They have to. They have to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important as you parent, and I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. is to lead with honesty mm-hmm. and grace, mm-hmm. acknowledging your sin so that they can see the path to repentance, mm-hmm. not living this life as if you are perfect or you've always been perfect and criticizing them continuously. But
real.
When you live out Christ's love in the front of them, mm-hmm. they begin to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it a whole lot more bearable for them. I especially like what David said to his son Solomon before he died. He charged Solomon to follow God wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows us that godly legacy is not flawless parenting, but it's pointing our children to the one mm-hmm. who never fails.
Yes, that's it.
Lisa closes out in prayer.
I will. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time just to study your word, study David, your servant. And like he told Solomon, we want to follow you wholeheartedly. We want to also leave that legacy to our children to follow you wholeheartedly. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that there's nothing that we can do that will cause you to turn your back on us. And we thank you. Like David said in Psalm 51, we ask you to create in each of us pure hearts, renew steadfast spirit within us. We also ask that deliver us from the guilt of our sins and help us, Lord God, to serve you in surrender, serve you in humility, and to not allow our own brokenness to keep us away, but make that be the thing that bring us to you daily. So we give you thanks and we praise you. Thank you for the example that we have in David. And thank you for Jesus for cleansing our sins. In His name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Amen. Thank you, Tamara. My friends, listening friends, I don't know where you are today in your life, whether you're feeling strong or shattered. I just want you to know that God still sees your heart. And He's still after it. Until next time, continue to trust in God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.